The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. We're watching, you know, this anti-racism movement in the U.S. between the African-American community and the Caucasian community. And there's whole studies done on the idea that there are some individuals that belong to the minor race, the inferior race, the oppressed race. And after a while, when you face that oppression enough times, you begin to actually believe that yes, they are the superior race. They are the superior color. We are the inferior color. We'll never be them. And you take the external racism and you subconsciously now you begin to internalize it. You actually convince yourself that yes, I'm African American, I'm a second class citizen. Subconsciously. And this inferiority complex kicks in. Now that has an immense impact on your identity, to the point where sometimes there are people who actually physically try to change their appearance. They'll bleach their skin. They'll straighten their hair. They'll change the way they talk. They'll get nose jobs to shrink their nose. I don't want any physical resemblance of the inferior race. I want to try to look like them so they can accept me. That's a huge issue right now. Now that's internalized racism. Bring the exact same principles to internalized Islamophobia. There are some of us who have the exact same subconscious feelings inside of us. That when we look around the world right now, I talked about Afghanistan right now, and Yemen, and Palestine, and you see almost as if every Islamic nation, every Islamic group is under attack. How could it be that everybody is wrong and we're right? Why are we always the target? Now you come here, for example, a random family going for a walk in London, Ontario, and a tragic event happens. My muhajjaba sisters, my warriors on the path, they have 1,000 stories of being ridiculed, tugged on, asked all sorts of weird questions, made fun of. After a while, it starts to seep in and you start to think maybe they're right. Maybe we're wrong. And so the script flips. No longer is it the idea that I'm trying to export Islam, I'm trying to now remove Islam from me. So I'll do exactly what the race does. I'll start to not look the part. The hijab comes off, the beard comes down, I start to now develop the culture of the, you know, superior religion or superior lifestyle, which includes alcohol, which includes all sorts of stuff online, which includes adultery, which includes changing my name, which includes everything, even to the point where I won't wear anything resembling a Muslim outfit. Even my fashion sense will change. All because subconsciously now I believe that I am the inferior religion. There was a study done. Those of you who know Noor Kids, Amin Asir, his wife did an amazing study on this very issue of internalized Islamophobia. Now, I'm using the word subconscious over and over again because many might think, yeah, right, who thinks like that? You'd be surprised. Even my hijabi sisters, when they're getting ready, they have all sorts of discussions. Is this an okay outfit? Am I kind of, you know, am I able to maintain some form of fashion and then still follow the rules of God? Oh, may God bless them. It's not easy. Those are my sisters who are on the fence about hijab. Sometimes I think you guys think that those who wear hijab since they were 9 have it easy. No, every day it's a struggle. Every day it's a struggle. They might make it look easy, but it's not easy at all. Trying to balance somehow looking fashionable and still being covered is not easy. That's why a lot of the time the lines are blurred. And the study that she did is eye-opening. In America, and these are 5 to 9 year olds. Kids. About this very issue of Islam. Now she used dolls and, you know, the whole experience she did, but the results are astonishing. I read 3 sets of results. She writes that 1 in 2 kids, age 5 to 9, did not want to tell their classmates they were Muslim. 1 in 3 kids did not realize they can be American and Muslim at the exact same time. Now, when you don't understand the idea, that's why my very first discussion, which feels like years ago now, right? My very first discussion was about the prophets instilling the deen into a pre-existing culture. That was a very crucial foundational discussion. But it's astonishing. These kids didn't know. Can I call myself American Muslim? And 1 in 6 kids, she says, pretended they weren't Muslim. It's astonishing to me. To young kids. That's why it is vital in passing, I say, don't underestimate the power of having an Islamic identity in the home. And start them very, very young. These are clean slates in your home. Sometimes I wonder at some of our parents, and again, I also struggle with this, that there's no Islam in the home, there's no Islam outside of the home, and then there's complaints that bachcha jo hai na namaz padta na wo, where will he get these values from? It's not inside his 4 walls, it's not inside society, it's not online, it's not inside of him. What's the shock? Why are you shocked? Did you give him the tools? Did you sacrifice and compromise? Or was it a little bit of a pinch of this and a pinch of that? And, you know, a very gray religion, blurred lines, confusion, to the point where, forget it. And that starts from a very, very young age. You can't all of a sudden expect your daughter at 9 to wake up and want to wear hijab if the right work hasn't been done for the previous years. The study I'm talking about is from age 5 to 9. Imagine now a 17-year-old. How many times do we correct someone's pronunciation of my name? How many times do I engage in a debate about Islamic politics today? How many times do I sit there and do my best to answer properly when they ask me as a muhajjaba, why do you wear a hijab on your head? Because my mom says so. Because I have to. How many of us run from those situations? So the first barrier is an internalized Islamophobia inside of us, which plays with everything from our pride to our worship to our sense of community to everything. Anything that has a resemblance of Islam, we run from. Be it our own look, be it the 4 walls of a masjid, be it certain days of the year, that's it.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.